Begin the current daf Masech, the Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Daled. Begin on the bottom line of Kuf Yud Gimel Beis, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, discussing the kavod that's necessary for Shabbos. And one of those aspects is that we should dress b'kavodik. We should dress with nice clothing on Shabbos. So the Gemara continues on this theme in a general sense. Amar b'acha bar abba amar b'yechin. We continue on to the top of Kuf Yud Daled and Aleph. Minayin l'shinu b'gadim in atar. Where do we know about the concept about changing clothing from the Torah, which that's a way of covet, of honor in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like we said for Shabbos, that even if you have clothing that you're wearing during the weekday, you should change that and wear Shabbos clothing, special clothing for Shabbos. Where do we know that there is this concept of changing your garments from one activity to another one, which requires more covet? Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, gufasha this begadav v'lovish begad macher, that he should take off his clothing and he should wear other clothing. That is, the pasuk mandated and required the kohen to wear lesser type of a clothing at the time when he takes out the ashes from the mizbeach, which is not such a chashav avoda, and that is so that his clothing that are chashav, that he does the avoda with, of the eating and drinking of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak, which is the haktara and the nisach, that's when the sacrificing of the karbanas and the pouring of the libations of the yayin on the mizbeach, which is the achila, that's the more chashav. So therefore, we have this concept about changing your garments. That is, to have a lesser type of a garment when doing something that's not as important and that's not as chashav as the eating and drinking, so that it shouldn't get soiled when you're doing the mochashav type of avodah. As the Gemara says, v'tana de Rebbe Shmuel, it was taught in the yeshiva of Rebbe Shmuel regarding darshaning this pasuk, limducha Torah derech eretz, the Torah is teaching you proper conduct. That is, begadim shabishal ben keder l'rabbi, that the garments that you use to cook a pot of food for your master, which is similar to the taking out of the ashes, al yimzik ben kois l'rabbi, that should not be the same articles of clothing that they use to bring and to pour the cup for your master. And that's why we required the kohen to wear lesser clothing when he's doing the Trumas Hadeshen, so that he can change, and this is where you see the concept of changing into his mochashav begadim, when he's doing the pouring of the cup, when he's coming in front of the master and pouring, which are similar to the haktara and the nisuch that's done on the mizbeach. On this theme about wearing chashav begadim, the Gemara says, Omer b'chibar abba, omer b'yechna. It's embarrassing, it's degrading for a Talmud Chacham, a Talmudic scholar, to go out with patched shoes into the marketplace. So Rosh Gemara asks, is that really true? He went out with patched shoes, and he was a Talmud Chacham, and he definitely kept all the halachas. So how can we say that it's a genai, it's degrading for a Talmud Chacham to go out with patched shoes into the street? So Amar Baruch Abreid of Nachman, b'tloy agav tloy. When do we say that it's degrading? Is if you go out with patches on top of patches, a really patch shoe. But if it has just patching, that's not a problem. Similar of Amar Achia Bar Abba Amar B'yechlan. Kol Talmachochem shenimtzer revav al bigdoy chayv misa. Any Talmudic scholar that there's some type of fats that are causing this oily stain on his garment, he's going to be liable for misa, for death. And that is because he has to be respectable and proper for the yonder of the Torah that's contained within him. And from the fact that he's not, and he looks disgusting, he has a stain on his shirt, he's going to be liable for misa. Shanim, like it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, Kol misanai ahavu mavis. Whoever hates me, Hashem says, loves death. So the drush is, al tukim misanai, don't read it, and those who hate me, elamasni'ai, rather those who cause others to hate me. And that is, if a Talmud Chacham makes himself disgusting in front of the eyes of all the other people. So people say, it's such a shanda to be from those who learn Torah because they're disgusting, that they look so disheveled, and therefore this person causes others to hate Torah because they say, who wants to be from these type of people? Therefore, you're avu mavis, you love death, such a person, a Talmud Chacham, that's not dressed respectfully and accordingly, is chayv misa. However, Avinu Amar Revad Itmar, his girsa was that any Talmudic scholar that has a revad, which is shichvazer, a semen on his garment, he's chayiv misa. And the Gemara says, v'lei pligi, and these two different versions, they don't really argue because it depends. Ha beglima. When we said regarding the outer garment, that's even revav, that's even grease, would make a person chayiv misa because that people see, it's disgusting. People are looking, you have a stain on your shirt, on your outer garment. Ha belavusha. This that we said, that it was talking about only semen, but a stain not, was talking about on the undergarment, on the lower one. That is, if someone sees behind your jacket a small little stain, that's not going to bother them. However, if they see semen, which is really disgusting, that's something that even on the lower garment is going to be chayv misa. On the outer garment will be even grease, because that's something that people see. Similar, v'omer b'chir bar abba omer b'yechna. Ma'idich siv, what is this that it says a pasuk in Yeshaya? Kashaholach Avdi Yishayahu Aram V'yachid. As my servant Yishayahu went naked and barefoot. Well, he obviously wasn't going naked and barefoot. So what does that mean? So Aram meant Bibgadim Balum. It meant with worn out clothing. V'yachid and barefoot is Bimin Olam Amtoloim with pad shoes. As we said, that pad shoes is degrading for Talmud Chacham. It's almost as if he's going out barefoot. And that's the interpretation of what it meant that Yishayahu was going naked and barefoot. Also on this topic, the Gemara continues, Tznan Hossam, we learned over there in the Mishnah, Masechtas Mikvayos, and the reason why the Gemara is saying this over here is because they want to say about Banoim, about certain people called Banoim, how their garments, that what's considered a stain on their garments. And the purpose of it is to tell us, which is the subject of what we're talking about, that a Talmud Chacham is very particular about his clothing, that it shouldn't have any stains, as we said, because a Talmud Chacham that has any stain is Chayiv Misa. So it says over there in the Mishnah Mikvayos, Revav Alamardeya, if there's a grease stain on the saddle cloth of a donkey, so then chaitzitz, that's considered an interposition, it's a chatzitza for a toiveling in the mikvah. That is anything that a person is particular about, that he doesn't want that stain, or anything that's on his body, that's intervening between him and the water, that will be considered chatzitza. So people don't want a grease stain on the saddle cloth. So therefore, you can't toivel it like that, where you'll have to first clean off the stain and then immerse it in the mikvah to purify it from its tumah. He says that the stain is only considered a chatzitza. People are only makbid about it until it has the size of an Italian iser, which is a size of a certain coin. However, regarding garments, if you have a stain just on one side of the garment, that will not be considered a chatzitza. However, if the stain is on both sides, that there was so much of a stain that it went through the garment and now you can see it on the other side, then a person would be particular about that, and that would be considered chatzitza, and you can't immerse it that way. Rabbi Huda, he says, Af mitzad echad chatzitza, that a garment, even on one side, is considered a stain that people are particular about, and therefore that would be a chatzitza. So now the Gemara says, they asked, Mardas mitzad echad oy mishneit staden, regarding the saddle cloth. That is according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that he said that a garment is even on one side. He argued on the opinion that said it has to be on both sides, on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He says even if it's a stain on one side. What is the halacha regarding a saddle cloth? What would he say over there? Would that also be even on just one side, it would be considered a stain that people are particular about and it would be chatzitza? Or would he say that a saddle cloth is not the same as a person's garment? And there it would have to be that it was such a heavy stain that it went through to the other side of the saddle cloth and only then would it be a chatzitza. So Amalei, he responded to him, Zulei Shemata. I didn't hear the answer about what exactly he holds regarding the Mardas, but Kayetzbe Shemata, I heard something similar, and that will shed light on your question to answer it. It does not, because we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yisi Oimer Shel Banoin Mitzad Echad. Regarding the garments of Banoin, there it's considered a stain even on one side. Bishel Bor Mishneit Stodin, but regarding an ignoramus, his stain would only be considered a stain if it's on both sides. And that is, Rabbi Yossi argues on Rabbi Yehuda in the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And he says that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's only the beggar of Banoim, which the Gemara is going to explain who they are, which are Tamid HaChacham, that they're very particular about their clothing. There it's even a stain from one side. But a boor, an ignoramus, there Rabbi Shmuel would agree that it's only considered a stain if it has such a thick stain that it's visible on both sides. So therefore, he says that can answer your question. Therefore, let not a saddle cloth be considered more chashuv than the garment of an ignoramus, than the amaretz, where there we're saying, Rabbi Yossi says that Rabbi Shmuel would agree that it has to be a stain on both sides. So therefore, if a beggar of amaretz requires a stain to be on both sides, for it to be considered that they're particular about that, it's chatzitza, definitely a mardas, a saddle cloth is only considered a chatzitza until it has on both sides. And only a banoi, as the Gemara is going to explain two interpretations, what it is, that it's considered chatzitza even one side. So the Gemara asks, my banoin, who are these banoin? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara has many different perushim from Rabbi Yochanan in the following lines in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Ilu tamidei chacham. These are Talmudic scholars, and why are they called banoin? Because they're involved in the building of the world all their days, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, they're involved in building the world. And therefore, as we mentioned in the Gemara before, that they're very particular because if they have a stain, they're chayiv misa. So therefore, even if the stain is on one side, it's considered chatzitza, and the Talmudic scholar would not be able to immerse his garments in the mikvah if it even has a stain on one side. And Rabbi Yochanan continues on this theme about Talmidei Chacham. Ezehu Talmud Chacham Shemachzirin Loi Aveda B'Tvias Ayin. Who is this that's considered a Talmudic scholar, that the halacha is that we return his lost item with just his discerning eye? And that is, as long as he says, I recognize it, even if he doesn't give a sign, which is generally necessary to require someone to return a lost item, as the Gemara says, El Mitzis, but Talmud Chacham, it's enough in Tvias Ayin. So who's considered Talmud Chacham to fit that category? This is a person that's particular about his garment to turn it outside in. And that is, if he puts it on inside out. So he's particular then turn it outside in, that he doesn't want that the stitching that's degrading, or the seams that are visible there in the shirt, to be seen. So therefore he turns it the right side up, that it outside in, that people shouldn't see it. That's considered Talmud Chacham. If he's makbid about that, again, like we said, Talmud Chacham are very particular about how they dress, to dress properly and bakavadik. Another category regarding Talmud Chacham, Varma B'Yechanan, Izeo Talmud Chacham Shememan Oisei Parnas El Tzibah. Who's considered a Talmudic scholar, which is a requisite to administering him as a leader over the community? So it says, this is a person that you could ask him a halachic shayla anywhere in the whole entire Shas, and he'll answer you right away. And even in Masechtas Kala, which generally people are not accustomed to be learning in, he put his effort and his intensity to even understand Masechtas Kala. He's considered Talmud Chacham to appoint him as a leader over Klal Yisrael. And Masechtas Kala is something that's, it's not even a Masechta in Shas, it's not one of the Mishnayos, it's a Braisa. Even that he's learning, so he's considered Talmud Chacham that you want to appoint over the community. Rabbi Yechanan continues on this, Ezeu Talmud Chacham Shemnei Iroi Mitzavan Las Lemalachti. Who is considered Talmud Chacham that we see elsewhere, that the people in his city are required to do his own work that he would have to do for himself? As the Gemara says in the 7th Perek in Yuma, at one hand, the Pasuk says, Vasisa l'cha aronates, that Hashem told Moshe that you should make for yourself an aron, the ark, out of wood. V'kasa b'charem, yet another pasuk says, that v'asu aron etzei shitim, that they should make an ark of wood. So therefore, who is in Moshe or the Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara there answers that, yes, it was incumbent upon Moshe, but since it's his malacha that he has to do so, the people from his city, the rest of Klal Yisrael, they have to go ahead and do it. Which is the concept the Gemara here is saying, that the Bnei Iroi have to do his work. So who's considered on that level of being a Talmud Chacham? This someone that leaves his own needs that he has to do, and he's involved with the community needs. That's like Moshe, and therefore the people would have to do his own, take care of his own necessities. As the Gemara says, v'hanemili l'mitrach b'rifte. What does that mean, that they have to do everything that he has to do? It means to be involved in his attaining of bread. That is, by something that his life depends on, and he's so busy with community needs, so then the rest of the community has to step up and take care of his family and his own needs. And therefore we see from this Gemara, as it continues, that what's considered Talmud Chacham, depending on what the criteria will change, depending on what the category of what we're talking about. As the Gemara says, V'amir b'yechanan, ezeu Talmud Chacham, who is considered Talmud Chacham? That is, that's someone that you ask him halacha anywhere in Shas, and he'll be able to tell the answer. So the Gemara says, L'mai nafkamina, what is the difference? So the Gemara says, L'manuyi parnas al tzibbet, to appoint him a leader on the community. And that depends how far his knowledge is, will depend how great of a position it is. Ibachad mesechta, if his proficiency is in one mesechta, so then ba'asri, then we appoint him in his place, in his locale. That is, if he knows how to answer a shayla in the mesechta that he's learning, so then you could appoint him a leader over his own neighborhood, his own community. Ibikuli tenuya, if he's proficient in the whole entire shas, that is, he could be learning one mesechta, and he could answer you in a shayla in another mesechta, then bereish mesechta, then you appoint him the head of the yeshiva, that means he's a real big Talmud Chacham, and he becomes a resh yeshiva. Now the Gemara brings a different shot in what the Banoyim were, that they were particular about their garments, that even if there's a stain on one side, then we say it's going to be a chatzitza. Pshim b'loka shamar, elu kelim hul yaren habon min medina seyam. These are the garments, these are the vessels of the bath as attendants that comes from very far off in the cities away across the sea. And that is this that it says, Banoyim mitzad echad, that was the vessels of these bathhouse attendants, that they had these very chashava robes that they used to robe the chashava people that came when they came out of the bathhouse. And they were very particular about a little stain. They didn't want, it's not respectable for me to be wearing with a stain. And that's where the word banoyin comes from the word beibani. The word for a bathhouse is beibani, that's banoyim. So therefore, that's what we're talking about. So they don't want a stain there, even one small stain on one side would be considered a stain because people are particular about it, and therefore would be chatzitza b'tfilah. So the Gemara asks on this pshat of Rishim Malakish, lememer d'chirininu, are you trying to say that these garments of the banoim, of the bathhouse attendants, that they were white? From the fact that you're telling me that they're very particular on the little grease stain, because had it be like a different color, like red, then they wouldn't be particular about a small little stain on one side. It wasn't so thick that it went through the other side. It's a color, it doesn't stick out so much. Obviously, we're talking about that they were white. On that, the Gemara asks, v'amalu Rebiani Labanov, Rebiani told his sons, Bini, my sons, atikbarinu loy became levonim, loy became shchem. Do me a favor, when you bury me, don't bury me in shrouds that are white or black. They explained why. Levonim shemalay eskim. Don't bury me in white, because maybe I might not be meritorious, and I'm going to be sitting amongst those that are sitting in Gehenna, who their faces are compared to the bottom of a pot. It's all black over there. I'm going to be like a groom amongst the mourners. Here I am in Gehenna with everyone that's black, and I'm dressed in white. I'm going to stick out pretty bad, and therefore don't dress me in white. But shchayim shemeskim, don't dress me in black, because maybe I might be meritorious. I might have merits, and I'm going to be in Gan Eden. And then I'm going to be like a mourner amongst all the grooms, and that is because everyone's going to be wearing white over there, and I'm going to be dressed in black. So do me a favor, don't dress me in white or black. Rather, dress me in those garments from the bathhouse attendants that come from very far off. So the Gemara says, obviously that they're red. In other words, they're a different color, not white or black. And yet here we're trying to say that if you're saying, but the kelim of the banoim is the one that they're makbid about, obviously they're white, and yet here we're saying that their garments are not white. Another Gemara says, loy kasha. It's not a contradiction, because depending which one of their garments that they had in the bathhouse, they were different colors. That is ha beglimi. This that Rabbi Yana said that to bury me in, that was talking about the outer coat that they had over there. And that was red, that was a different color. However, this one that was saying that it's going to be the statement of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, that is going to be a stain even on one side, ha belavushi. That was talking about the garments that they had, that was white. And that they were particular about having a stain even a little bit, because on a white garment it really sticks out. So it's not a contradiction. There were these two different garments that they had by the bathhouse attendants, one of them being red, and that's the one he wanted to be buried in, and the other one was white, and that's the one we're saying is considered chatzitza even on one side. So the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. That Rabbi Shmuel and Makaplin, Mechul Rabbi Shmuel said that you could fold, and the Mishnah continued and brought out a machlikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva regarding if you're allowed to sacrifice the chalavim, the fats of a carbon that was brought on Shabbos, as a lot of times it's brought in the evening, the chalavim, the vam, brought all night on the Mizbeach. Now, if Shabbos was Erev Yom Kippur, are you allowed to bring the fats of the Shabbos on Yom Kippur? That's a machlikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara comes to explain this machlikis. Tanya Rabban, we learned in the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, Oila Shabbos b'Shabbat, that the oila carbon of Shabbos should be brought on its Shabbos. So it's mashma to darshan two things. One is the fact that it didn't need an extra vav. It could have just said oila Shabbos b'Shabbos. Why b'Shabbat on its Shabbos? And the second idea that we come to darshan from the pasuk is that there's a redundancy over here, that why it has to say the word oila Shabbos. It already said the concept of oila Shabbos. Why do I have to repeat oila Shabbos? It's mashma that an oila of Shabbos is brought on another Shabbos, b'Shabbos, not saying which Shabbos it is, that is another time, possibly Yom Kippur or Yom Tov, that's also called Shabbos, that you could bring the fats of the carbon Shabbos on it, which the Gemara explains now the two opinions. Limit achevei Shabbos shekrev b'Yom Kippurim. This first opinion, the Brisa says, that this pasuk comes to teach you that you could bring the fats of the carbon Shabbos, and you could bring it a sacrifice in Yom Kippur, and that is, that, for example, if let's say you have the limbs of the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim, which is the last carbon brought on the day of Shabbos, you could bring it on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. And that's because Yom Kippur is also called Shabbos. So as we said before, that Oyle Shabbos b'Shabbos, and the extra vav will tell us something else, that it could be brought on another time called Shabbos. When is that? That's Yom Kippur, that's also called Shabbos, that you could bring the fats of a Shabbos on Yom Kippur. So Yochel Avshal Yom Kippur and B'Shabbos, you would think that you could also bring the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos, because they're both called Shabbos, maybe each one can be brought on the other one. Tamaloyme B'Shabbatoy Divrei B'Shmol. Therefore, we have the extra Vav, that Vav is a meat. It's diminishing, saying, oh, on its Shabbos you're allowed to bring it, but not on another Shabbos. What's that excluding? That's saying Yom Kippur, which is Shabbos, only in Yom Kippur could you bring it, but you can't bring it on Shabbos, which is always called Shabbos, is only Shabbos that can be brought on Yom Kippur from the redundancy of saying Oyli Shabbos b'Shabbos, but from the extra vav is saying that no, but you can't bring Yom Kippur onto Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. B'kiva Omer says Oyli Shabbos b'Shabbatay. As we said, there's the redundancy of repeating it again of saying Oyli Shabbos that can be brought on Shabbos. So that's limit al chelvi Shabbos shekraven b'yamtim. That comes to teach you that you could bring the fats of Shabbos and you could bring it on Yom Tov. For example, if Yom Tov falls out on Matzah Shabbos, because Yom Tov is also called Shabbos elsewhere. However, as the Gemara is going to explain, that he doesn't say that it could be brought on Yom Kippur like Yom Shmuel. As the Gemara says, Yachal Afi b'Yom Kippurim, you would think that you could also bring it not only on Yom Tov, but you could even bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Tamalei mebishabbatai, he uses the extra vav of the meat, that to say that only you could bring it on Yom Tov, but you can't bring it on Yom Kippur, which is a step higher. And the Gemara explains now what their machlokes is based on. Why does Rabbi Shmuel come to say that the redundancy comes to include that you could bring Shabbos' fats on Yom Kippur? And the diminishment is saying that, but you can't bring the Yom Kippur fats on Shabbos, yet Rabbi Kiva doesn't do that. He doesn't say that you could bring, from the extra redundancy, bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. He only says you can bring the Shabbos fats on Yom Tov. But the Meir is coming to say, but you can't bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippurim. What's that based on? So the Gemara says, Kishatim Tzolem, if you want to explain it, it's as follows. The Divi Rabbi Shmuel, he holds Nedarim v'Nedavos Krevim Yom Tov, that you could bring karbonas that are voluntary karbonas that were either had a neder or because you just want to volunteer it, that could be brought on Yom Tov. And that is a machlokes Masechtas Beah. And Rabbi Shmuel holds like the one that says that you're allowed to bring the Nedarim v'Nedavos on Yom Tov. And therefore, if you're allowed to bring the Nedarim v'Nedavos, which could wait and to be slaughtered on a weekday, and then to bring it then, you could bring it anytime you want to. Still, we say you're allowed to slaughter and sacrifice on Yom Tov. So kal v'chomer that the fats of Shabbos, which were slaughtered the way they're normally supposed to be on Shabbos, was when you're supposed to bring the korbanos of Shabbos, and it was left over because that's when the fats and the limbs, you didn't have a chance to sacrifice it on Shabbos. There for sure, you don't need a pasuk to tell me Oyla Shabbos b'Shabbatoy to include that you could bring the karbonas, the fats of Shabbos on Yom Tov, because of course, if you're allowed to bring regular Nedarim and Adavos on Yom Tov, so for sure the fats of Shabbos, which only could be brought today and then it's left over on Yom Tov, for sure you're allowed to bring it. So therefore, what would the extra redundancy come to include? That would come to include that you could bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippurim, because Yom Tov I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that for. As the Gemara says, V'chi itzach karli Yom Kippurim. So therefore, what did I need a pasuk for? That was for Yom Kippurim to permit bringing the fats of Shabbos. However, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, what you have to say is that he held Nedarim and Nedavos ain't krev b'Yom Tov. That generally you're not allowed to bring, as like the other man in Masechtas Beah, you can't bring voluntary kabbonis on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to slaughter or do all these avoids of sacrificing in Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do unless it's oichel nefesh, and that you don't have over here. So if you don't have to bring the carbon, you bring it on a different day. And therefore, when we had to have a pasuk to say of oichel Shabbos b'Shabbat, that's coming to include a different time when you're allowed to bring the fats of Shabbos, is to say that on Yom Tov, we need a pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to, because you're not allowed to bring the Dam and the Davis. And therefore, the carbon of Shabbos, which is not designated just for Yom Tov, we need a special Reboy. And therefore, you don't have that Reboy to tell Yom Kippurim. Therefore, the diminishment of B'Shabbatai is coming to exclude, yes, you could do it on Yom Tov, but not, you cannot bring it on Yom Kippurim. And that explains the Machlokes in our Mishnah, if you're allowed to bring the fats of Shabbos in Yom Kippur or not. So on this topic, the Gemara says, Amr Zera, we continue on to Amr Beis. Kavina b'bavel, when I was in Bavel, that is when I first learned Torah in Bavel, before I went and made Aliyah and came up to Eretz Yisrael, Hava'ami, I used to say as follows. The Hadatani, this that says in the Baraisa, Yom Kippurim Shechaliyas Erev Shabbos Lo Hayu Toiken, that when Yom Kippur fell out on Friday and Erev Shabbos, then they didn't blow. That is, there was six tekiyas that they would blow on Erev Shabbos to stop and to separate the people from doing malachas and to know that Shabbos is coming, as some communities have a siren. And that is because Yom Kippurim is as holy as Shabbos and that it's forbidden to do all malachas. Therefore, there's no purpose in making the tekiyas and blowing and say stop working if it's anyways Yom Kippur and no one's working anyway. And similarly, Uba Matzah Shabbos, that is, if Yom Kippur falls on a Matzah Shabbos, Lo Hayim Avdilin, they wouldn't make Havdalah in davening to say Hamavdim and Kodesh LeKodesh, like you do when you make Havdalah on Yom Tov that falls on a Matzah Shabbos, because again, there's no reason, because they're the same sanctity of Shabbos and Yom Kippurim, so therefore you don't blow before Shabbos if it's Yom Kippur, and you don't make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos if it's going into Yom Kippur. I had said that Divrei HaKolhi, I said that it was everyone's opinion, that is, it didn't entertain in my thoughts, that this should be tali in the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah. However, when I came up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechise le Yehuda bereidu b'shim ben pasi. The Yosef comment that he was sitting and saying as follows. He said that this b'rais is Rebbe Kivahi. That is only according to the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. That he equates Yom Kippur with Shabbos. As we find on Mishnah, that he says, you're not allowed to bring the fats of Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, they're the same. And therefore, you don't have to blow or to make Havdalah between Shabbos and Yom Kippur to make a separation, that there's somewhat of a difference, because the only time you blow is between a more lenient day to a more stringent day. And therefore, on Shabbos, there is no purpose to blow or to separate the Kahanim from bringing the fats of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, you also don't blow and to separate from bringing the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. In other words, there's no point of blowing or separating because we don't have to know there's a difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos to say, oh, Yom Kippur is leaving and Shabbos is coming, to say as if there's a higher level going into it. There's no higher level. There's no difference at all. Even for the Kabbalists, there's the fats of one day is not brought on the other day. As he said, the ear Rabbi Shmuel, because if that b'rais would be going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, but kiven the Amar Chelvi Shabbos Kriyam Yom Kippur, since he says that the fats of Shabbos are allowed to be brought in Yom Kippur, so then litki, then you should blow going from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. And why is that? Ki heichid de lava yadi, so that they should know the Chelvi Shabbos Kriyam Yom Kippur, that however the reverse of the fats of Shabbos are allowed to be brought on Yom Kippur. And that is, if Yom Kippur is more lenient than Shabbos, then you should blow that they should stop from bringing the karbonas of the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Why is that? We know that you not bring the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Shabbos is holier. And that is, with this blowing, they'll understand that Yom Kippur is more lenient, and therefore, in the time when Yom Kippur will fall out on Matzah Shabbos, and they won't blow, then they'll know that you're allowed to bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. And therefore, from the fact that we say that you don't blow when Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos, obviously the Yom Kippur and Shabbos are the same sanctity, and that even if Yom Kippur will be on Matzah Shabbos, you won't bring the fats of Shabbos to Yom Kippur. And therefore, it must be going like Rebbe Kiva, not like Rebbe Shmuel, because Rebbe Shmuel holds that there would be a purpose in blowing when Yom Kippur is Erev Shabbos to know for a different time to say, hey, we're going into a higher sanctity here. And although there's nothing to stop doing more on this year, because in Kippur on Shabbos you're both doing the same karbanas and you're not doing one that would be different than the other, but it would be related to a different year in your Kippur's on Matzah Shabbos to know that, oh, it's a step down and you could bring the fats. Therefore, it must be saying like Rebbe Kiva that there is no difference and it's not a step up or step down. They're both the same. However, v'amina le'ano, but then he's continued to say, I told to Reb Shimon ben Pazi, who is saying that it's totally in this machlekes, but Kehanim's reason, hein. Kehanim are very proficient. They know this. They don't need any signs, because by regarding them, it says, Yer mishpatech le'yakov, that they are the teachers of halacha, of the judges, of the judgment to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that although there, he says that there's a difference, he would hold that you don't have to blow because the blowing is for the populace, for the people, that they don't know, they don't understand the halacha so well, that they need the blowing to say, hey, there's a transition that we're going through from a lower sanctity to a higher sanctity. And therefore then, yeah, it would be a difference from Shabbos to Yom Kippurim. But if the only difference is bringing the fast of Shabbos to Yom Kippur, I don't need a blow to show there's a difference. Can't know this. There's reason. They're very careful. They're meticulous about the halachas. And they know that Shabbos is different Yom Kippurim. And if they'll know in a different year that Shabbos, you can bring their fats on Yom Kippur, that's on Matzah Shabbos. So therefore, even Rebbe Shmuel could agree like this, Brisa, that if the only difference is something related to the Kehanim Zavoyde in the Beis HaMikdash, regarding the fats of Shabbos to Yom Kippurim, that you wouldn't blow because they know and they don't need a simon. So therefore, I disagree. It could even be going like Rebbe Shmuel. However, the Gemara asks on this, Amalei Markashisha Beredra of Chizdel Ravashi. Do we really say the Kahanim are so careful and therefore they don't need any signs to know regarding a halacha when the time is or how to do it? But we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechet Sukkah, and there the Mishnah talks about all the different kiyas that they used to do every day in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is, every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't less than 21 kiyas blowing of the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah there explains that if it fell out on Friday, Shalish lahavtel es ha'amim alocha, they would do another three blowing to stop the people from doing work. And Shalish lahavtel ben kodesh l'chol, and another three to separate between the holy and the profane and the mundane, to separate between Friday and Shabbos. And now the Gemara thinks, from the fact that they would blow it in the Beis HaMikdash, it was obviously for the Kahanim to recognize this difference between Kodesh and Chol. So therefore, you see that even the Kahanim have to know, and they needed keys to separate between Friday and Shabbos, in spite of the fact that they know the halacha. So what do you mean that you tell me that there is reason, and therefore they don't have to have the keys to separate to know that the fats of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippurim? It's not true. We see that they would blow these keys up to separate between Friday and Shabbos, in spite of the fact that there's reason, and they would blow this in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Gemara answers is not difficult. Kedam Abai, like Abai says elsewhere, that Lishar Amma de Yerushalayim, that it was for the other people of Yerushalayim that they would be there around in the area of the Temple Mount in the Beis Hamikdash. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma in the third parak, that there was a candelabrum that Hilni Hamalka had made by the opening of the Heichal. And at the time when the sun would shine, so then sparks would come out, it would be so glaring, and everyone knew that the time of Kriya Shema came because the sun is out. And the Gemara asks over there, but we said elsewhere that whoever reads Kriya Shema with the people of the Mishma, the Kahanim that are doing the Mishma, that they're not Yaitza. Obviously the Kahanim did not recite Kriya Shema in the proper time. So what are we saying that then they knew that this would be the time to recite because the sun has come out and that's the time to do it, but the Kahanim didn't do it, they did it earlier. So what's the purpose of this sign? And there, that the Gemara says over there, that Abai said that this sign of the candelabrum was for the other people that was in the area, the Yisraelim that weren't doing the Avodah, that they should say Kriya Shema in the proper time. So, here also the reference of the Tekiyas is not to tell us for the Kehanim, because they are his reason, and therefore even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that there's no purpose in blowing Erev Shabbos as Yom Kippur to know the difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. However, this that they would blow the three tekiyas every Friday to differentiate between Kodesh and Chol, that was for the other people that were around, but the Kohanim themselves did not need it. However, the Gemara continues on asking on this. But Velitka, on this brisa, says that they don't blow, but let them blow, and that is both according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Rabbi Shmuel, you should still blow when Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos. Why would there be a purpose in blowing? To know that it's permitted to do the trimming of the vegetables from the time of Mincha and further. That is, we have to tell the people that Yom Kippur is more lenient than Shabbos. And that is because Yom Kippur, there's a certain leniency that you allow to trim vegetables that were already detached from the ground from before Yom Kippur to separate the leaves from the bulb to make it equal, to make it in a nice shape, that it should be prepared to cut and to dice or when it comes time for Matzah Yom Kippur, when it's time to break the fast. As the Gemara later explains, because it's an inoy. It says, V'nisim is not shesechim, you're supposed to afflict yourself. That itself is an affliction when you see and you're preparing food and you can't eat it. So at a later time, when it's towards the end of Yom Kippur, that is a fulfillment of inoy, of affliction. And therefore, that you're allowed to do. And even though on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go ahead and trim the vegetables in Yom Kippur, you're allowed to, because that's a fulfillment. And therefore, maybe that's why they should blow on Yom Kippur that falls out Erev Shabbos, to know that, wait, this that we're allowed to do of the trimming of the vegetables, that we can't do now that it's coming into Shabbos. So therefore, according to everybody, we should blow. So why does the Braisa say that we did not blow if Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos? So Rav Yisus says, because we don't push away, we're not over on the Shvus Drabbanan to permit something. That is, Tekiyah Shofar, blowing a Shofar, is a Issa Drabbanan. It's a Shvus. And this that you said that you should be over on this, you should blow the shofar to notify people that this permission of the dicing of the vegetable is not going to be permitted on Shabbos, but it's permitted today in Yom Kippur. We're not going to be deicha a shvus of blowing the shofar to permit something. We only do it to forbid something. For example, when Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, then we blow to separate the people from doing malacha, to say, hey, wait a second, now it's going to be Shabbos, so we have to stop doing the malachas of Eichel Nefesh that we did today. But if the only purpose is to know that when there's going to be a Yom Kippur after Shabbos, that then there's going to be permitted or to blow on a regular Yom Kippur, to blow even if it's on Erev Shabbos, to know that you're allowed to go ahead and dice and trim the vegetables, that's not something that we would be over on the Issa Rabbanan to tell you something, to notify you something that's permitted. We only are doicha a Shvus Rabbanan to aser something. Then the Gemara gives a second teretz for this question. Rav Shisha Bar Dav Idi Amar, Shvus Kerova Hitiru, that we permitted only an immediate dechia, a pushing away of being over the Issa Rabbanan, that is only for something immediate, but Shvus Rechoika Lo Hitiru, but for a distant permission, for something to notify something that you're allowed to do, that for a distant purpose, that we didn't allow you to be over on Issa Rabbanan right now. That is, he argues in the first head, says, and really the truth is, you could be over on Issa Rabbanan, which is blowing of the shofar, to notify a permission only if it's for an immediate purpose. But here, you don't have to know, on this case, when Yom Kippur fell on Erev Shabbos, we don't have to notify that you're allowed to trim the vegetables on Yom Kippur, which is something that's permitted that we wouldn't know because we would think it's the same as Shabbos. Because this year, when Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos, no one's going to be trimming the vegetables, because what's the purpose? You can't cook it anyways tonight, which is Matzah Yom Kippur for the fast, because that's Shabbos, you're not cooking on Shabbos. So therefore, the whole purpose of this blowing, of this tekiyah, would only be to notify us for a different year, when Yom Kippur falls out during the week, For that, we didn't allow you to be Ivan Isra Rabbanan. We only allowed you, although we were Matar Shavuos, to do an Isra Rabbanan, to tell you, but notify you something that's permitted. That was only for an immediate, not for a later purpose. But on that, the Gemara asks, is that really true? The Shavuos Karei Behetira, according to your Teretz, but you say it for an immediate permission, that we were allowed you to be Ivan Isra Rabbanan, but we learned in the Mishnah Chulin as follows. Yom Tov Shechali is Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, Taken, so then we go ahead and we blow the shofar. That's to stop the people from doing work which is permitted to do on Yom Tov. For example, Eichel Nefesh. That you're allowed to do malachas that are necessary for eating purposes. That you're allowed to do. That's one thing that's permitted on Yom Tov that's not on Shabbos. And to separate them from the holier day of Shabbos from the more mundane day of Yom Tov. So therefore you have to blow from Yom Tov going into Shabbos. However, v'loim avdil, you don't make Havdalah during davening or on the cup of wine that you drink on Matzah Yom Tov, which is Shabbos, because we did not institute Havdalah, separation, only when you're going out from something holier and going into something more mundane. But not when you're going into something holy and leaving something mundane, because there it's enough to make the Kiddush of the day. Because the Kiddush of the day, of the sanctification, of the Shabbos on the wine, that is the difference to know that what I'm leaving, the transition. The transition is either through Kiddush or Avdallah. Kiddush is when you're going somewhere higher, and Avdallah is when you're going something lower. Say when you're going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you're not going to make Avdallah, you're making Kiddush, you're going higher. Matzah Shabbos, however, if Yom Tov falls out of Matzah Shabbos, then we do make Havdalah in davening and on the cup of wine. And we say, Hamavdim and Kodesh, Le Kodesh. And the reason is because you're leaving a higher sanctity of Kedusha and going into a lower level of Kedusha. And therefore, so you make Havdalah, but you don't blow on Shabbos to stop the people to make Havdalah a separation from the day that you're leaving into the day of Yom Tov, which you now do Malacha, because the day that you're leaving is more stringent. And on the day of Shabbos, you didn't do Malacha anyway, so there's no purpose in blowing on Shabbos that falls on Erev Yom Tov, although generally we'll blow going into Yom Tov, but if Shabbos was Erev Yom Tov, then there's no purpose in blowing. Therefore, the Gemara says, this is the question that's bothering us. Vamai, and now why? And that is, if you would entertain, like you're saying, that we would be daicha a shvus, to permit something that's immediate, so then we should blow on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, that to notify people that shechita is permitted now. As the Gemara says, Litka kihecha diladi deshar b'shechita l'alti, we should blow to say, hey, you're allowed to go ahead and slaughter now. Although Yom Tov and Shabbos are both equal generally regarding doing malachas, but Eichel Nefesh is permitted. You're allowed to slaughter and go ahead and cook up a piece of meat to eat for tonight. So therefore, if he's saying that you're allowed to be Eiva Issa Rabbanan, which is Tekiyah Shaifer, to notify people something that's permitted, so Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, we should blow then. Because you're saying that it's permitted to be Eiva Issa Rabbanan for something of notifying people that something is permitted. The Gemara says, rather it's clear as the first teretz in the Gemara and that the second teretz is not correct, that rather that you would not doicha a shvus for any case of permitting something, we only doicha a shvus to notify people of something that's prohibited to do, not for something that's permitted to do. The Gemara continues, Amr b'zeir, Amr avhuna. V'amrila, and some say, Amr b'aba, Amr avhuna. Yom kippurim shechali is b'shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos itself, then aser b'kanibas yarek, then it is forbidden to trim the vegetables. And that is, definitely, we don't have to tell you regarding a regular Shabbos, that it's aser to do because it's a shvus, it's an iser rabbanon, to trim the vegetables, because then you're doing a tircha, you're preparing from Shabbos for the weekday, because you're not cooking anyways on Shabbos. But so therefore, a regular Shabbos, definitely you're not allowed to trim the vegetables. Even on this year, where there is an element of inoy, of affliction, on trimming vegetables towards the end of Yom Kippur, as we said before, because on a regular Yom Kippur, where generally that this is a shvus, that's us to do, but on Yom Kippur you're permitted to do. However, on this year, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, there the Rabban did not permit you to go ahead and trim the vegetables, because it's Shabbos, and Shabbos, it's going to be us to do. So Amar Rav Manna says, Tana, we learned the Braisa explaining this halacha. Minayin leYom Kippurim shechali is b'Shabbos she'asa b'kanivas yarek. From where do we know that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, that although generally Yom Kippur you're allowed to trim the vegetables because of the fulfillment of inoy of affliction, that it this year on Shabbos it would be forbidden to trim the vegetables. So Tamalayim says in the pasuk Shabbosin, that is by Shabbos Bereishis, the first Shabbos, it says the word Shabbosin, which is Shavuos, that you should rest. That is Shabbos Kodesh, and the word Shabbosin, they all, their definition means to rest. And the Gemara explains, Lamai. For what are we talking about? In other words, what type of trimming is the pasuk coming to forbid? Because it says that you have to rest and you can't do the trimming on Shabbos. If it's coming to talk about an actual malacha, for example, if the vegetables are attached to the ground, But Vaksiv, we already have a pasuk that says Lo Yisasa Kamalocha, you shouldn't do any malacha. And therefore, why would I need another pasuk of Shabbosin to exclude that to trimming something that's connected to the ground? That would be one of the malachas of the 39 malachas of Shabbos. Elalava, Kanivas Eric, obviously it's talking about the trimming of the vegetable, that is when it's already detached from the ground, which is not a malacha, and still the pasuk is telling you a mitzvah asay of Shabbosin, of resting, and that is since midiraisa, biblically it's also to do it on all the Shabbosins of the year. So here we did not allow you to do it because of this agmes nefesh, and this affliction, this pain of chopping and trimming this vegetable in Yom Kippur, which is so hard because you're so hungry, and doing that will be a fulfillment of Inan Nefesh. That was not enough of a consideration to be Deicha Issa Deiraisa of Shabbosin. However, other Yom Kippurim, then it's permitted when it's not on Shabbos because of the Agmas Nefesh, of the pain of the affliction of trimming it when you're so hungry. And the question is, Rashi says, although it also says the word Shabbosin, which means rest on Yom Kippur, that's not a reference to Malach over there. That's rather that you have to rest, that it's talking about things which would prevent you from being afflicted. From that you have to desist from. And the idea is because it says the word over there of Shabbos and near the word of Ve'inisim, of affliction. And that's how the Gemara in the last parak in Yuma darshans it, that it's a reference to bathing and anointing and all things just like that. You should desist from those things. From that, it should be Shabbosin, but not regarding Malacha. And therefore, we don't have the drasha that we have regarding Shabbos, that you're not allowed to trim, because Shabbosin is, because it's definitely not telling you the trimming of the vegetable that's attached, because that we have L'Sazika Malacha. For Shabbos, we have Shabbosin to tell you that you're not even trim the vegetable, because that's a tircha, that's not necessary for Shabbos itself. Therefore, for Shabbos, we have the Bafim Yom Kippurim. The Shabbosin tells us you should desist from things that would detract from your Ve'inisim, of your affliction. So therefore, Shema Minot, the Gemara says, obviously you have a riot to the halacha that we just said before from Rav Huna, that to trim the vegetables in Yom Kippur, although generally it's mutter, but on Shabbos it would be awesome. However, the Gemara brings a moira that argues on that. Amr Rav Chibar Abba Mibiechanan, Yom Kippur Mishachalis B'Shabbos mutter B'Kanivas Yerek. That even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, it's permitted to trim the vegetables. To which the Gemara asks, Meisvei, from the Brisa that we just brought, the Brisa says explicitly, from where do you know that when Yom Kippur falls in on Shabbos, that it's forbidden to trim the vegetables? Tamaloi b'Shabbosin, which means Shabbos, to rest. Now lamai, what would it mean? What type of vegetable are you not allowed to trim on Shabbos? That's on the same day as Yom Kippur. Ilem el malacha, if it's coming to tell us regarding malacha, that's what the pasuk with Shabbosin is saying, meaning that's attached to the ground. But it says already in the pasuk, which forbids all the 39 malachas, you know, I'll do it. Why would I need another pasuk of Shabbosin? So elalav b'kanibus erek, obviously it's a reference to trimming a vegetable that's already detached. And yet you see that it's forbidden to do it, even if it's on Yom Kippur, because it's on Shabbos. So how can you say that it's permitted? And nothing more says, lo ilayim la malacha. Really, in truth, is we're talking about that it's attached to the ground. And that would be the malacha deraisa of toilish of kaitzer. Now, why would I have to say that it's asa from Shabbosin if it's already asa from lamates malacha, so loisazaka malacha? The reason is, that if we wanted you to be over when you're doing this katsira of reaping, not to only to be over on the loisase of the negative prohibition of loisazaka malacha, but to include and be over another isser of a assay of a positive commandment of Shabbosin, of resting. And that's why it's telling you Shabbosin is forbidding the trimming of the vegetables. But really, regarding a detached vegetable, yes, that you're allowed to trim on Yom Kippur, even if it falls on Shabbos. As the Gemara says, Tanya Kabbasit Rabbi Yechon, we have a Brisa that says to Rabbi Yechon that it is mutter, as the Brisa says, Yom Kippur Mishachalis B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos, and continue on to the top of Koftes Vav Amen Aleph, is mutter B'Knivis Yerek, is permitted to trim the vegetable, and that is, it's a really a shvus. It's only Issa Drabbanan, the trimming of the vegetable, and it's not an Issa Deiraisa. It's only Drabbanan. And since here on Yom Kippur, it's Agmas Nefesh, it's an affliction that you're preparing food and you can't eat it. So that's very similar to what the Pasuk wants you to do on Yom Kippur, which is V'nisim Es Nafshei Seichem. So therefore, it's permitted. However, it's Davka, it's necessarily from the time of Mincha and further on, which then you're already looking forward and you're waiting, oh, when can we eat? When's Yom Kippur going to be over? Then it's a real fulfillment of pain, of Agmas Nefesh. Only then do we permit you to trim the vegetables. But earlier on in the day, that's not permitted. And the Braisa continues similarly, is mefatzen ba'goizim, you could crack the nuts, umefarches and brimayinim, and you could break open the pomegranates, mina mincha lamala, from the time of mincha and further on, mimne agmas nefesh, because of the pain that it afflicts the person. That's why we permit you to stop preparation for the food, because although early in the day you're not sad, you're happy with it, here it's like a painful thing. So therefore we allowed you, regarding this shavus, this isra bon, that's generally usher preparations on Yom Kippurim, you're allowed to, because it's a fulfillment of the inisim es nafshei seichem. However, the Gemara brings two stories that the Bei Rebbe Yehuda mekan vikarva, that by the household of Rebbe Yehuda they would trim cabbage. The Bei Rabba gardikara, in the house of Rabba they would scrape pumpkins. However, kiven the chazad davikum acharfi, once Rabba saw that they would start doing it early, that before the time of mincha already they would be preparing ready the food for Matzim Kippurim, which is not a time yet of agmas nefesh, it's not so painful yet than all the food because you're not that hungry. So Amalahusay said to the people of his family, a letter has come from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yochanan to say that it's forbidden. In other words, why did he say that? He could have just said himself it's asr, because he wanted that they should accept from him and they shouldn't seem like he's overbearing and say, what are you doing over here? So he says, oh, I want you to know, a letter came from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it's asr, that this heter of making the preparations, of trimming the vegetables in Kippurim, is that although it's generally asr medrabanan, that we pushed aside this Isra Banan for the fulfillment of Nisim Es Nafshei Seichem, it's only from the time of Mincha and on, but earlier than that, it's not so painful yet, then it would still be the Asr of trimming the vegetables in Yom Kippurim. Hadnu Loch Ve'eluk Sharm, we shall return to you, Perek Ve'eluk Sharm, the 15th Perek in Masechta Shabbos.